Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
What if I told you that the line between your conscious thoughts and your body's automatic functions, your heart rate, your skin temperature, even your brain waves, is much, much blurrier than you think?
And what if you could learn the language your body is speaking and actually start a conversation with it? Not just listen, but talk back.
That's the promise of what we're exploring today, a technique called biofeedback. It's this fascinating intersection of technology and biology that gives us a direct window into our own internal world, and then maybe gives us the controls.
Yeah, the controls. That's what gets me. I've always been fascinated by this because, for me, it was about managing stress in a really tangible way. You know, that feeling when you're overwhelmed and your heart is pounding? The idea that I could actively do something to dial that down in the moment, using data from my own body, that felt like a superpower.
It really does. For me, it's always been about performance. That moment right before a crucial meeting, or when you're facing a blank page with a deadline looming, you can feel your body almost betraying you. Your palms get sweaty, your focus scatters. The idea of mastering that internal state, not through guesswork, but through direct feedback.
Exactly. It's moving from being a passenger to being the pilot.
That's it, precisely. So today, we're going to decode how this all works. We'll get into the science of the mind-body connection, explore the different ways you can use biofeedback to manage everything from anxiety to chronic pain, and hear some incredible stories of transformation.
We're going to find out if we can all learn to speak our body's language, and in doing so, unlock a healthier, more balanced life. It's going to be a fascinating conversation.
It really is. And I think to grasp the power of it, we have to pull back the curtain on the technology itself. Because it sounds a bit like magic, right? Talk to your body. But it's actually incredibly concrete.
Right. It's not a metaphor. You're literally plugging yourself in a way.
You are. And the easiest way to understand it is probably with muscle tension. Think about when you're stressed. What's the first thing you feel? For many people, it's that their shoulders are suddenly up around their ears.
Oh, 100%. My neck, my jaw, I don't even realize I'm clenching half the time until I get a headache.
Exactly that. So, with EMG, that's electromyography, biofeedback, a practitioner would place a couple of small sensors on the skin over those tense muscles, say your trapezius muscles on your shoulders.
Okay, so they're not putting needles in or anything. It's just on the surface.
Just on the surface. These sensors are incredibly sensitive. They pick up the tiny electrical signals that your nerves send to make your muscles contract. The more you tense up, the more electrical activity there is.
So it's like an amplifier for your stress.
That's a great way to put it. It takes this internal, often unconscious process and translates it into something you can see or hear. You might be watching a line on a computer screen. As you tense your shoulders, the line goes up. As you relax, the line goes down.
Wow. So you could literally see your own jaw clenching on a graph in real time?
In real time. Or you might hear a tone that gets higher in pitch as you get more tense and lower as you relax. The goal is to learn how to make that line go down or that tone get lower on command.
And that's the feedback loop. You do something internally. Maybe you try a breathing technique, or you consciously try to let go of that muscle, and you get immediate external confirmation if it worked or not.
Precisely. It removes the guesswork. You're no longer just hoping you're relaxing. You have objective data telling you that you are. And what's fascinating is how this builds on work from a century ago. A man named Edmund Jacobson developed a technique in the 1920s called progressive relaxation.
Wait, the 1920s? I assumed this was all born out of Silicon Valley in the last couple of decades.
Not at all. Jacobson's whole idea was that mental agitation and physical tension were two sides of the same coin. He showed that even just thinking about an activity created subtle contractions in the corresponding muscles. His insight was that if you could teach people to systematically release all that muscular tension, their minds would have to follow suit.
So, he was doing this without the computers, without the sensors. He was just teaching people to pay incredibly close attention to their own bodies.
He was. He'd have them intensely tense a muscle group, hold it, and then release it, forcing them to notice the difference between a state of tension and a state of deep relaxation. Biofeedback is like the modern evolution of that. It gives you a technological shortcut to that awareness.
It's like Jacobson taught people how to feel for the light switch in a dark room, and biofeedback just turns the lights on for you, so you can see exactly where the switch is. It's not magic. It's just illumination.
That's the perfect word for it. Illumination. Because it takes these signals that are normally happening under the hood, completely out of our awareness, and puts them right on the dashboard. And if we can do that with something as, you know, relatively straightforward as a shoulder muscle, what about the systems that are even deeper? The ones we really feel are out of our control.
You mean like your heart? I mean, you can't just tell your heart to slow down. Not directly. It feels like the one thing that has a mind of its own.
You can't command it like a muscle. No. But you can influence it. And this is where we get into what I think is one of the most powerful forms of biofeedback, which is heart rate variability, or HRV.
Okay, I've heard that term thrown around a lot, especially with fitness trackers. But I always thought it was just how much your heart rate changes when you exercise versus when you rest. Is that it?
That's part of the picture. But HRV is much more subtle. It's not about the big shifts in your heart rate, but the tiny millisecond-to-millisecond variations in the time between each heartbeat. Even when you're sitting perfectly still, your heart shouldn't be beating like a metronome.
Wait, really? I would have thought a perfectly steady rhythmic beat was the sign of a healthy, calm heart.
It's a super common misconception, but think of it this way. A healthy system is an adaptable system. That slight variability, that flexibility, is a sign that your autonomic nervous system, the part that runs all the background processes, is responsive and ready for anything.
The autonomic nervous system. That's the fight or flight thing, right?
That's half of it. You have the sympathetic nervous system, which is your gas pedal. It gets you ready for action, fight, flight, stress. And then you have the parasympathetic system, which is your brake. That's your rest and digest system. HRV is a measure of the balance between the two.
So high variability means you can switch between the gas and the brake easily. You can rev up when you need to, but you can also calm down efficiently when the threat is gone.
Precisely. Low HRV, on the other hand, suggests your system is stuck. Often, it's stuck with the gas pedal floored in a chronic state of stress. And this is where the biofeedback comes in. You can actually train yourself to increase your HRV.
How on earth do you train something you can't even feel?
Through your breath. It turns out there's a direct link. By using a simple sensor, maybe a clip on your earlobe or your finger that measures your pulse, you get a real-time graph of your heart rate patterns. The goal is to make that pattern smooth and coherent.
Coherent?
Imagine the graph. When you're stressed or frustrated, it looks jagged, chaotic, all over the place. When you're in a state of calm, positive emotion, it creates this beautiful, smooth, sine wave-like pattern. That's coherence. And you learn to create that pattern by finding your body's unique, resonant frequency of breathing.
Okay, resonant frequency of breathing sounds like something out of science fiction. You're saying there's a magic breathing tempo for each person?
It's not magic. It's physiology. For most people, it's around 5 to 7 breaths per minute. The software guides you. You breathe in, you breathe out, and you watch the screen. And when you hit that perfect pace, you see your HRV score climb. You see the jagged line smooth out into that coherent wave. You are literally watching yourself enter a state of calm.
Wow. So it's not just take a deep breath. It's finding the exact breath that puts your heart and your nervous system into harmony. That's incredible. It connects the feeling of an emotion, like gratitude or calm, to a concrete physiological signature you can see on a screen, and then work to create on purpose.
On purpose. And that, right there, is the kernel of the entire thing. It's taking this abstract, almost mystical idea of mind-body connection and making it a concrete, observable, and trainable skill. It's not just a philosophy. It becomes a practice.
Yeah, a practice. But I have to admit, as we've been talking, there's a part of me that feels a little skeptical. Not of the science, that seems solid, but of the experience. Is there a danger that we start outsourcing our own intuition to a machine? That we stop learning to feel calm and instead just learn how to make a graph look pretty?
That is such an important question. And I think the goal of good biofeedback practice is the exact opposite. It's not a crutch. It's like training wheels for interoception, for that ability to sense your own internal state.
Training wheels. Okay, I like that.
Think about it. You use the feedback to build the neural pathways to learn what that coherent state feels like from the inside. The screen just gives you confirmation that you found it. The ultimate goal is to be able to put yourself in that state without any technology at all, because you finally learned the language. You don't need the translator anymore.
So the tech is there to make itself obsolete, in a way. To teach you so well, you don't need the teacher.
Exactly. And that, to me, is the most exciting part. We've talked about stress and performance, but the implications are so much broader. This is a tool for self-exploration, for understanding how your body responds not just to stress, but to joy, to creativity, to focus. It's a mirror for the subtle internal dance that's happening all the time.
It really reframes the whole thing. It's not just about fixing a deficit, like anxiety. It's about enhancing the whole experience of being alive and aware. Which I guess brings me to a final thought. Where does a person even start? Is this something accessible? Or is it still confined to high-tech labs and clinics?
Well, that's what's changed so dramatically. 20 years ago, yes, it was mostly in clinical settings. But now, the principles are in wearables. They're in apps on your phone that use the camera to measure your pulse. The clinical-grade tools are still more precise, of course, but the fundamental ability to get a window into your own physiology is becoming democratized.
So anyone can start learning their body's language right now. That's a pretty powerful takeaway. We've gone from just passively experiencing our bodies to being able to have a direct conversation, to consciously steer our own nervous system. It's a fundamental shift in our relationship with ourselves.
It truly is. It's moving from being the passenger to being the pilot, just like you said at the very beginning. And I think that's the perfect place to land this conversation.
I agree. This has been fascinating. A huge thank you to everyone for tuning in and exploring this with us. It's a reminder that there's this whole universe inside us, just waiting for us to listen. Stay curious, everyone.